Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Here for another week. I sincerely apologize about last week. We had some technical difficulty that prevented us from being able to get the platform up, but again, you can't hold us down. We got too big of a mission. We got too much to do. And so we're here this week, ready to go, excited and pumped to get started. If you've been following me on Facebook, you'll see that I have a healthy body transformation going on. And what that simply means is mind, body, and soul really chiming in and checking into myself and my thoughts and my actions along the way in life. And those things have to be done. Those things have to be paid attention to, because that's what, in essence, gives you the character, gives you the ability to sustain yourself in such a volatile world that we're in right now. And we must check in to our emotions. We must check into our thoughts and our actions, because those are the things that will make or break you. And if you're not careful, you can spiral out of control and do damage to yourself. And so that's one of the things that we don't want to do, and that's one of the things that we got to be mindful of. And so for me, I am on a 66-day journey of transformation. And it's not just, it is body, it is mind, but it's also, and with those things in mind, we have to really figure out how we are paying attention to ourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually. There's a lot that goes on in the quest for peace and in the quest for serenity within our lives. Excuse me, guys. And so, you know, when we talk about the greatness of mindset, and how you get this done every day, because we find that it's the easy things that are so hard to do. You know we're supposed to go walking, or you know you're supposed to work out, or you know you're not supposed to eat certain things. And it's so easy to overrule your mind. But when you overrule your mind, what has that just done for you? You may not have completed the task. Did it make you feel bad? Did you just say, oh, well, there's tomorrow? Or did you, you know, just do it and say, you know, well, to hell with it. I'm just going to do it. I feel like doing it. I know I'm not supposed to, but I know I said I'm not going to. I'm just going to do it. And for me, I struggle with, and I can't even say struggle because it's a choice. It's not like I'm addicted to something, to that, but dealing with procrastination. And, you know, I have this thought process in mind that there's only certain things that I procrastinate about. And other things I'm on top of, like white on rice. And so I know it's a choice. It's a conscientious choice. And I've got to the point where I was comfortable with just being okay with the fact that I procrastinated in certain areas, or I was lazy in certain areas. And when I recognized that, I said, well, in this 66 days of transformation, that's going to be something that I'm going to challenge myself mentally on. And so the mental transformation are some of the things that, like the procrastination, or sometimes like the being an introvert, where I truly just don't, I can go days and days and days without seeing any TV, talking to only the people that I'm required to talk to or that I want to talk to, that are near and dear to my heart and near and dear to my life. But everybody else, I can check out. And, you know, then you get in this funk or you get in this phase where you just don't feel like being bothered. And I have too big of a mission, and we all do, to be that way. And it's called self-awareness. And so self-awareness is another big thing that I am working on through this time in my 66 days of transformation. It used to be where you would do something for 21 days, it became a habit. But they realized for that habit to stick and become second nature, it takes about 66 days. And so that's why on this 66-day journey, I said, you know what? I need accountability partners. And you have your family, you have your friends, I have my son. But social media is great for this. And though I don't like to necessarily post on social media, or though I don't like to necessarily be on it all the time, I might check in on it a couple of times throughout the day and then keep it moving. But every night or some point in time throughout the day, I need to be accountable to people watching. I'm on here every Tuesday at 7 o'clock speaking about health, speaking about wellness, and people see me then, but you don't necessarily get to see me through the rest of my days. And so, my mentor last year put up this 66-day challenge. And for 66 straight days, we had to communicate with people. We had to talk to people, find out what their wants and needs are in life, and not necessarily address them, but just have a good, genuine conversation and ask questions. And I was so surprised how much I was already doing that, but the fact that you have to document it. And then you get to about the 20th day or the 21st day, and you realize that you go through half the day, and you realize you hadn't talked to anybody yet. And that was those days when I was feeling like an introvert. I just felt like I didn't really want to be bothered. And growing up in an environment where, where I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, in Harbor House, in Eastport, where I grew up, it wasn't a whole lot of talking going on. It wasn't a whole lot of asking questions going on. You had your fun. You went outside. You did what you wanted to do. You had fun. But it stayed in the neighborhood. If anything happened, it stayed in your mind and in your heart. You didn't just go running and telling people. And so being conditioned that way for so long, it just became a part of who I am. And I'm still that way to an extent today. I'm just not surrounded by situations where I'm put in a position not to have to speak on things. And so that's part of growth. You know, that's part of growing up. That's part of becoming a man or a woman. You get yourself into a better environment, you get yourself into a better situation, which in turn helps your mindset. But when I realized, I was like, man, I haven't really posted anything. I haven't really said anything. And so I was like, I need to go talk to people. So it'd be 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and I'm walking through Walmart, and I stand in line, and I catch somebody, and I talk to them, and I have to remember what we talked about. And then when I get back home, I have to record that. And when I record it, typing it into the Facebook page that he set up, I said, man, and then you have to follow up with these people to see how they're doing. And, man, it just really created something deep inside of me where I developed such a different love for people, and I developed such a different awareness for people because, man, to talk to a homeless person and to really understand their story, we see them holding a sign. And sometimes it's just BS, don't get me wrong. They've been telling themselves this story for so long, and they start to believe it. And it's really not true. They really have the resources, and they really can do the things that they need to do to get on their feet. They just don't want to because they are struggling with just being the way they are, or they're just okay with it. But to just have some conversations with people and understand what they're going through, to have conversations with people who seem to be successful. They might drive a nice car, and they might drive a nice home. And when I was on the cruise a couple of weeks ago, on the Disney cruise, and, you know, it's a fairly expensive cruise, but that means you tend to be around people who can afford to be there. And so, you know, thanks to my son's mother and my cousin and everybody, we put together and we took my son and my nephew on that cruise. But when I got to talk to people, I talked to a guy who basically he took every single call down in Louisiana. He took every single call, AAA call, for broken down cars or people who locked out. And he makes seven figures a year and absolutely hates what he does with a passion, can't stand it. But he's created such a life around it that he likes the income, but he hates what he's doing. And then there's another guy who I met who does recruiting for jobs and like a temp agency type thing. And he has 11 offices, and he loves the temps. He said the temps are wonderful. They show up to work. They're ready to work. But he hates the managers, he said, because they all seem like they're entitled. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to run their office the correct way. And he fires people all the time. He fires managers. And he said he absolutely hates what he does. And he makes seven figures a year. And so their work-life balance is way off in the sense that they hate what they do, which means that you got to go have a beer. You got to go smoke a cigarette. And when you look at these people, you can tell that their health is not in a good state. You know, they're overweight. They're smoking cigarettes. They're drinking six, seven beers. And I thought about that. I said, it's just amazing how our jobs affect our mindset. If you love what you do, and that's why I've always been a proponent about doing what you love. If you love what you do, you tend to be a healthier person. Because even though you may not be making the money that you want to make, even though it may not be your business or your passion or your dream may not be something that you can see right now and that's monetizable, you love what you do. And so with that, your mind is better, your heart is better, you're less stressed. But you can have a job making as much money as you want and hating it. And there are so many people who have jobs that they hate and don't make enough anyway. And that's super stressful. And so that's why we talk about is your mindset affecting how you live. It can be affecting you. It could be affecting you in a good way, or it could be affecting you in a bad way. And for me, really paying attention to that, you know, I study all week. I work, you know, I do longevity, I study. Because all I want to do every day is bring content and things to people in the world that are valuable. If I can bring value to the world, then I've done my job. And that's what Legacy is about, creating something and showing up every week no matter who's watching, showing up every day no matter what's going on, showing up no matter the circumstances outside of you. That's self-awareness. And when you have that level of self-awareness and understanding that it's not – necessarily that you your issues or your situation isn't important, it's that the world needs what you have. But better than that, I say it all the time, Facebook Live is a wonderful thing because on the radio I don't see people and I only hear myself talk. But Facebook Live, I'm looking directly at myself. I see people who pop up that chime in or that come in and out and hit like and hit love, but for the most part I'm looking at myself. And that has been as therapeutic as anything that I've done or even challenging because I'm holding the mirror in front of my own face. So when I talk to you, I'm really talking to myself. I'm just hoping that what I'm saying to myself has reached someone in a place that causes them to make a change or make a difference or just to say, you know what, I never thought about it that way, just to create thought, just to create dialogue. And so, you know, for me, this 66-day healthy body challenge, this healthy body transformation is the temple. You know, your soul just lives inside of this shell. Your spirit just lives inside of this shell. And so, you know, if your spirit was a star or a light that just lived inside of you, this is truly a shell. But this shell needs to carry you around. This shell needs to be kept fresh, refreshed, rejuvenated. And once you take care of your shell, the inside of you feels much better. But guess what? Feeling better starts on the inside. Happiness lives on the inside of you. Your brain is inside of you. You don't see that. Your gut, which is just as important and is tied to your brain, is inside of you. The important things that affect your life truly happen inside of you. And it's seen on your shell, which is why you say, you know, people say, well, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Or, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. Because what you feel radiates out into the world, and the energy that you leave. You know, when I'm feeling down, I can tell that I feel down, even if I try to fake it, because the energy, the people that I speak to, they don't speak the same. And it's because I'm not speaking the same. But when you're enthusiastic and you walk by somebody in a grocery store, you say, hey, how you doing? And they look at you and they smile. They look at you like you're crazy. Like, it's 6 o'clock. He's talking about, hey, how you doing? I'm tired. But it's a different level of energy. And people are attracted to energy. You look at how many people are tired throughout the day. You look at how many people don't get enough sleep. You look at how many people watch kids run around and say, man, I wish I could have that energy. People are truly attracted to energy. I pride myself on being an outlet for people to plug into and recharge. And when you do that, I have to plug in and recharge. And that's the point of having mentors. That's the point of having close friends and good relationships. And that's the point of having accountability partners, because that gives you the ability to plug in when I don't feel like it. Last week, I didn't work. It was late. It was almost 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I hadn't worked out yet. And I was supposed to get up with my homeboy, and he was too busy, and so we never ended up getting up. But we talked for about 15 minutes. He was like, man, you know, every night I watch you post something about this transformation thing. And he said, you got me on it. He said, I'm like 6 days behind you, but I'm on it. And I was like, for real? He was like, yeah, man. He said, but I'm watching you. And that moment when he said that, I changed my clothes, and as soon as we hung up, I went outside and I ran 2.5 miles. Because now you create traction. And you might want to let yourself down. You might want to tell yourself this BS story about why you can't get something done. But when you got people that care for you and that want to see you do well and want to see you succeed watching you, you tend to do better. And your mindset will shift almost immediately. The other thing with our mindset is, of course, the foods we eat. You know, a lot of the foods are truly addictive and really bad for you. There's a lot of bad stuff on the market right now. From processed foods to fast foods to, you don't really ever know what you're eating. And so if you tend to be, you know, if you used to be, especially late 30s, early 40s and older, you know, we had access. I think we're probably the last generation had access to good food. But the generation now, and my son's age, 8 years old, I mean, you consciously have to be aware of the food. And also fast food for us was a treat back in the day. I mean, you might go eat fast food once a month. Now that's a two and three time occurrence for some people and their children. Or some of the food they buy from the grocery store, which is just as bad as fast food. So they're attached to this particular type of food and this type of diet that is not conducive for the health of our mindset. Certain foods you eat, you feel down, you feel drained, you eat too much sugar, you feel jittery, you feel high, and you crash, and you feel sleepy. And it's really hard to focus on life. It's really hard to focus on the things that we truly need to focus on just because you high off food. You know, they put all these additives and things to make them more addictive. And we've gotten away from good fruits and vegetables. And we've gotten away from, you know, fish and different things. And there's still a lot of us that eat those things. But I'm just speaking as the population as a whole. And that's because, and that's, and I'm speaking that way because statistics say so. You know, we still are the number one country of people who die of heart disease. That's the number one killer. We're the number one country for obesity. 40% of Americans are obese. We're the number one country for diabetes. 1 in 3 Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic. So, and it's getting worse. The rate of Alzheimer's is going up. The rate of dementia is going up. I mean, the cancer rate is gone through the roof. So when I say, you know, that what we're doing to our environment, and, you know, part of that we aren't as in control of, but also, but what we put on our skin and what we put into our bodies, we are absolutely in control of. And so your mindset is extremely affected by what you eat and how clear your thoughts are and how focused you can be. And it happens with our children more or less because the school food system is so jacked up, and some of the foods that they supply for us that are cheap enough for us to buy, especially if, you know, you're looking at social economic status, these kids are getting Pop-Tarts for breakfast and these sweet cereals, they're drinking milk and all of these things, they're Sunny Delight, Eggo waffles with a bunch of syrup. I mean, all of the things that are available is sugar. And so these kids go into the classroom, and they're high off sugar. And then the teacher will tell you, oh, your child doesn't pay attention. How can they when they're high off sugar? They can't keep still. It's not that the child can't learn. There's not anything wrong with the child. Because if you ever watch a child who's really, really hyper to the point you know it's like what they call ADD or ADHD, or they're high on sugar, watch them when they get up in the morning. You watch a child before they get up in the morning and have them write their name. Have them write a picture of themselves. And then let them eat the breakfast that they normally eat. And about 30 minutes after they eat that breakfast, have them write the same thing again on a clean sheet of paper. Take the other paper away, go put it somewhere, and take a clean sheet of paper and tell them to write their name and write a picture of themselves. And if they have issues with sugar, and you know that they've had sugar, what they write, you may not even understand their writing. The picture they draw may not look anything near what they drew before. That's a good telltale sign that you can do in the home to wonder, how is my child being affected by his diet? So, you know, our mindset and the food that we put in our bodies will affect you as much or as bad as alcohol or pills, because food is a drug as well. And there's no reason why they have the, or there may be a particular reason why they have the FDA housed in the same building. That's the Food and Drug Administration. And so that just, that goes without saying. That's self-explanatory. But the other thing about mindset too is the level of movement we get. I call it exercise. You can call it exercise, but just movement. Because going for a walk is considered exercise, but it's movement. And you'd be surprised if you're feeling down, or if you look at people who have jobs in businesses where they sit all day, especially sitting in cubicles and places with no windows. Those people have a higher level of stress. One, because they're not exposed to the outside. They can't see the outside. Even if you look at inmates, prison inmates, now granted, they're locked up and they're in one space and sometimes all day long, but the fact that they don't get good quality vitamin D, they're outside for an hour a day in a cage in some instances. But even when you, and if you take that and look at the same people who live in cubicles at work all day for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, their stress level is as high if you were to do a stress test on them. So it's extremely important that we get movement. Walking is great. You know, people, you know, you want to do these strenuous exercises and they're really good, and you want to do all of these other push-ups and sit-ups and lifting weights and all of that is cool. But just movement, just move. Walk, ride a bike, you know, get on a treadmill. You'd be surprised what that does for your brain, because it releases endorphins. And endorphins are the hormones that help you feel good. serotonin, norepinephrine. Those are feel-good hormones. So the more of those you can release, the better you feel. Also, when you hug someone, a hug, especially if it's your mate or someone you're really close to, it could be your parent, but a hug that lasts longer than 20 seconds is therapeutic, a good long hug. The longer the hug, the better. And it could be a stranger. You see somebody, they're having a bad day, and you just grab them and give them a hug. And people are like, man, it truly makes you feel good. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a romantic hug by any means. It could be what they call one of them long church hugs. But just the fact that you're passing energy, and that's what, like I say, people are addicted to energy. We don't know it. We don't pay attention that way, but we are addicted to energy. We want more energy. And the more natural energy you get, the better. And if we're not addicted to energy, then you wouldn't have Mountain Dew and Red Bull and Monster and all of those other things on the market that people drink to get more energy. Granted, they're not that great for you. There are some natural things that you can do to drink. I mean, natural drinks you can have to get energy, because it frees your body up as opposed to giving your body something. It frees some of the toxins up in your body and some of the stress in your body. It frees it up. It relieves it. That's what helps you gain more energy. Oxidative stress, when you release that, that helps you gain more energy. So, you know, drinking energy, good energy drinks, or walking. People who exercise in the morning or read in the morning tend to have better days based on a few different studies that I saw this week. You know, I try to read at least 15 minutes in the morning, or I'm writing, or sometimes both. I've been in this process of writing this book, and it should have been done. But again, that goes back to my level of procrastination or what I kind of feel is important. But I've learned a lot along the way, and I've been taking notes and studying and adding more things to the book. So it has been educational for me, but the book should have been done. But again, that's me understanding that in my level of procrastination, that's one of the areas that I procrastinated in. But when it comes to getting up every week to study to get ready to do this show every Tuesday, I'm on it. I don't waste any time with that. So again, it's that balance, and it's not, I can't even say it's balance. It's just finding that the things that you want to do or should do, make them all the same level of importance, because it's in your mind for a particular reason. We have so many great thoughts that pass through our mind every day that we don't get a chance to write down. And you think about it, you're like, man, that's a good idea. Or you're like, man, why I think of that? That was pretty cool. And then if you don't write it down, within 5 minutes, you forgot it. So, you know, it's important that our mind is always talking to us. Our mind is always feeding us. And the healthier our mind, the better it feels. The more it will feed us, the more it will talk to us, the more we are, quote unquote, connected with the universe or connected with the spirit or connected with God, whatever it might be for you. But the more open your mind is, the more free your mind is, the more fresh your mind is, the more you can receive messages, spiritual messages, the more you can receive energy. And so on this 66 days of my transformation, one is of course is about working out, it's about exercising, it's about you know, running, hitting this rack. You know, if you haven't seen the rack, you go to my Facebook page and just check out one of the days. A couple of times I've posted things about the rack, but that, man, that machine is a killer. And I only do it, you don't even need a lot of space to do it. One day I'm going to try to do a better video where I can record the space that I actually work out in. It's not a lot of space at all. And so I can get my workout in. And it's days, of course, I don't feel like working out, but I know I have to post something. And so I go work out. Now it's getting to the point where the benefit of it in my mind is changing, because my mind is now saying, all right, what are we going to do today? How are we going to work out today? And so that's been a big change. I think I'm on day 17. So I started on February 1st, April Fool's Day, as a joke. Like, you're going to do this healthy body transformation for 66 days. And I was like, yeah, okay. But now it's there. But also the reading, that's for my mind. You know, reading this book, I posted it. It's called Waking Up to the Joy of You. And it's 52 different stories in that book, along with meditations that go along with those stories. And that book is super awesome because the chapters are really short. And so sometimes I'll just read a whole chapter for a week. I'll read the same thing every day for a week so I can get it in my mind and do the meditation every day for a week. And a lot of the topics, oh man, they hit right on. And so a friend of mine, Donna Cully, had recommended that book, and I'm so grateful that she did, because, I mean, I've been enjoying it ever since I had it. And, you know, I take my time and read it. It's really about content. You know, reading for me now, you know, when you read in school, you read through something as fast as you can. You hope you got enough by the time you get to the end. But a lot of things that we read now, that I read now, are really to soak in. And that came from doing this radio show, because I'm reading content. I'm reading about different diseases. I'm reading about different illnesses. And so I had to allow it to soak in, because, as you see, a lot of times I do this, I don't have notes in front of me. I think it's extremely important for me to learn what it is that I'm trying to do and take it in, so that way I'm able to give it back and genuinely pay attention to the audience and give it back. But that helps my mind, learning and reading, because your mind grows. If it's not growing, it's dying. You know, TV for me is probably maybe 2 hours, 3 hours a week, if that. You know, I might catch an episode of First 48, or I might, you know, catch the end of a basketball game or something like that. But TV is really not that interesting to me much anymore. And I might catch a Netflix documentary or something on whales, or just National Geographic. You know, if I watch something, it's a documentary or it's National Geographic, or I get my TV fixed sometimes. Like I said, I may watch an episode of the First 48, but I feel like I've seen so many of them. But, you know, it's just really checking out from the things that cause you from distraction. Social media can be a big distraction to your mind. You know, depending on your level of self-esteem, you may post something and not get any likes and feel some kind of way about it. Or somebody may post something that strikes a chord with you. You know, you get caught up in this racial stuff that's going on, and you get caught up with the president, and you get caught up with all of these things, and you see something posted on social media, and now a perfectly good day has gone left because you let something that is not immediately even affecting you or affecting your mindset come into your house, come into your temple, and disrupt things. And so that is extremely important, the toxins that we let into our body. And a lot of it is outside. You notice when we talk about toxins and we talk about bad things that come into our body, that's outside influences disrupting our inside, the inside of our life. Because life, I said, is happiness is inside. Your spirit, your soul is inside. The news, what people say, lotion, what you put on your skin, food, what you put in your mouth, depending on how good or bad those things are for you, especially if they're bad, will disrupt the inside of you. So that's why it's extremely important to pay attention to what we take in, because what we take in just disrupts the natural flow of things. When we talk about diet and eating, I mean, I've touched on that again, but fasting or intermittent fasting has been wonderful for me. I got a chance to talk to Dr. Harold Johnson, who I have so much respect for. And, you know, when I was in San Diego at the Longevity headquarters a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking, and he was just talking to me about this intermittent fasting and, you know, eating between the hours of 12 and 8 and doing that for allowing the body to rest, allowing the body not to have to process all the time. And, you know, certain people feel like you need to eat 6 meals a day. Certain people feel like you can eat 1 meal a day. It really, I guess, goes down to what works for you. Me, I'm big on supplementation. So I take supplements, and that's what gives me my nutrients. So food for me is really value added. and I found so much benefit in a supplement, a good supplementation regimen, because I don't always know what I'm getting from my food as far as nutrients are concerned. So I know if I take my nutrition, I get that out the way. And then everything else is value added. And so if I have cabbage and sweet potatoes and some eggs, I know that I'm going to get something from it, but I'm not depending on that for all my nutrition, because I know that that's just not going to happen. And I can't eat enough of that to get all the nutrition that I need. So, you know, that works for me. And so this intermittent fasting also works for me, because I can take my nutrition in the morning and that just stays in my body and it's working all day and it's feeding my body. Then around lunchtime, I'll eat, or midday, 2 o'clock or so, I'll eat and kind of eat a bigger meal. And so I'm still at the point of the day where my body's metabolizing, but I'm also getting to the point of the day where, you know, by 5, 6, 7 o'clock, I'm still not that hungry. Now, granted, I do stay up late. And so sometimes in the evenings, I might get a little hungry, but that's when I'll take a few more supplements. Or I may, you know, eat an apple or something like that. But you really, once you start to control your eating, you'll find that eating is not as necessary in a sense. But again, that's because I'm basing it off of my level of supplementation. And so you really have to figure out what works for you. Everybody's different. You know, there are people who can eat six meals a day and six small meals a day, and their metabolism is through the roof. They're processing everything. They're getting rid of everything. They look great. Their bodies look lean. They're working out. They're exercising. They're using that fuel to burn from the food that they ate. And so, you know, one of my good friends, you know, who used to be a big guy, is as ripped as you see a lot of people. And he's not real big. He's not a big guy anymore. But, you know, he talked, you know, about how many meals he eats every day and small meals and how hard he works out and how hard he trains. And so that works for him. But there's not a blanket. And that's one of the reasons why, even with nutrition, you take it based on body weight. You know, you can't take the same amount that I take, and I can't take the same amount that you take, unless we're the exact same size, the exact same makeup. So, you know, that's extremely important. And then when we talk about spirituality, which I'll touch on from an overview perspective, because it's different for everybody. You know, you have your Muslims, and, you know, they pray several times a day, and I'm sure that through that, you know, you think that they're closer to the spirit, they're closer to the creator, or Allah, their deity, because they're showing up so much. You know, you have the Christian religion where, you know, people say small prayers throughout the day at their desk before they're getting ready to go somewhere. Thank you, Jesus, you know, whatever that might be. And, you know, I'm sure that that helps, because you're staying in touch with that part of you that you feel grateful for, you know, or you feel that gives you your guidance. You feel that guides you spiritually. You know, for me, I'm big on my ancestors. I'm big on the people that came before me, because I feel like they chart the path of life. You know, I really follow my African tradition. That's just my personal preference. And so every day I'm thanking them. I live in a life of gratitude and thankfulness. I have on my phone every single day at noontime, I have an alarm that goes off, and it just says stop and give thanks. And I just say thank you, because everything has been put here for us. Everything that we need is here for us. And we have to understand that we have to be in a level of thankfulness and a level of gratitude. The universe, the creator, God, whatever, they know exactly what you need. And it's amazing how, you know, you get to a point in life, and not even in life, but you get to a point and you're stuck. You don't know how you're going to pay this bill, or you don't know how you're going to get to this place, or you don't know what's going to happen about this job, or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden it works out. Like, and you could have prayed about it, but it was almost like the universe knew that. Anyway, you always make a way. A way always seems to be made. That could be part of your steps being ordered. If you look at it in a particular facet, that could be part of just the fact that you're putting out good energy and you're just a good person and you try to do the right thing every day. And so good things tend to happen for you. You know, but we all gonna have flaws, we all gonna have downfalls. We all gonna have challenges because the same wind blows on us all, and it's just life. And to me, those challenges aren't. Some people liken it to, you know, something, you know, the devil or something taking something away from them or standing in their way. I don't particularly look at it that way. I look at it as these obstacles are put in your way to help you gain experience, because truly the only thing we know in life are the things that we've experienced. And so the more experiences you have, the more you know. And the more you know, based on those experiences, the more you are able to sow into other people that have those same experiences. And also, everybody's experience is their experience. One person get hit from behind in a car accident, and another person get hit from behind in a car accident. It's the same car accident, but it's two different levels of experience. And so, you know, you never minimize or shut down anybody's experience or what it is that they feel that they need within their life to sustain them. And so spirituality is super important, because you have to stay connected to whatever mode that is that keeps you fulfilled and works for you. And so, you know, through the process of life, through the process of being thankful, there are a lot of things that can happen that can take away or distract from that level of experience. But at the same time, what may seem like a downfall, what may seem like a pitfall, if you look at it and try to find the good in it after the fact, because while you're in it, you can't really see that. But after the fact, what was I supposed to learn from this? What was I supposed to get from this? And when you find that out and you figure that out, then you can take some nuggets from it. You can take some things from it, and it'll be helpful to you. Also, all in all, having balance in life, and you know, we throw around this word balance, life work balance, work life balance, spiritual balance. It's different for everybody. I'm a work type person, and the level of ambition that I have, and the level of things that I want to do, and the things that I'm doing. You know, I wish sometimes when I talk to people and, you know, they've gone on vacation or they're enjoying their life or they're having fun and, you know, they, man, you know, you should come and party with us. And on a Saturday night, I'm sitting in front of my computer because I'm putting together a project or I'm studying something or I'm trying to get ready for this call, whatever it is. And so my level of ambition is different. So my balance is different. You know, I do make the point in time to make sure that I check in with my son every day and make sure he's doing fine. But his mother does a wonderful job of handling him and getting his homework done and just being there. And so, you know, she gives him the attention, the minute-to-minute attention that he needs. And I come in and I give him a big hug. I take the time to ask him how his day was. And I do that. And before he goes to bed at night, I make sure that I hug him and kiss him and tell him how much I love him and how proud of him I am. And even times in between where he might be having an issue with something, or he might be wanting to tell me a good story or what happened throughout the day I'm there. But, you know, that hands-on, minute-to-minute thing, his mom is there. Oh, I mean, that's what she lives for. And so it's a great thing that works out the way that it does. Because for me, it's like I'm there, but I'm right back to work. I'm there, I'm right back to work. And so it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still awake. I go to bed and wake up about 4:30, 5 o'clock. So, you know, for me, I don't wish this on anybody. And I wish that sometimes if there was a pill or a drug that I could take some of this ambition out, I would do it. Because sometimes you feel like you just go so hard, and I remember a lot of old heads telling you, you know, your kids grow up fast and, you know, don't miss this and don't miss that. And they grow up fast. And I understand that, and I keep that in the back of my mind. And so, you know, last week, last Saturday, whenever it was, I posted, you know, me and my son, we just went outside and we played. I mean, we played like kids, and that was so fun. And, you know, as it gets warmer, we're going to do that. And then now, you know, I'm like, okay, you work. Your son is 8 years old. He wants to work. He wants to figure out things he can do to work. And so, you know, I talked to him the other day, and I said, you know, he always talk about cutting grass and mowing lawns. And I'm like, Jamie, that's very good that you want to do that. I said, but you can also work smarter. I said, because right now it would mean that you and I would have to cut so many lawns a day. And then, you know, you come home and you get to count the few dollars that you made and, you know, you keep it moving. And I said, well, and I asked them, I said, how would that impact somebody's life by you mowing their lawn? And he said, oh, it's stuff that they don't have to do and their yard can look nice. And I said, that's very good. And he was, and I said, that's very true. And I said, but you know what else I thought about was having a rebound stand. And for those of you who don't know what rebound is, it's a sports drink. And Jamie absolutely loves it. It's something you drink before or after your workouts, and it rejuvenates you, rehydrates you. It's got about 100 nutrients in it. So there's so much more nutritional value in it than what your Gatorade or Powerade is. And living in a golf course community, you know, I said, we can go over to the golf course or somewhere along the golf course route with a ride around with golf carts, and we can set up a rebound stand, have a comparison chart there to show them the difference between rebound and Gatorade and Powerade and vitamin water, and we can sell rebound, $2 a cup. We can stand there in the shade and enjoy ourselves. And he thought that was a wonderful idea because he likes to share that with his friends. And so now, because I like to work, and that's part of my level of ambition, now he can be part of that. So I'm just, again, extremely excited about life and what's going on and just trying to be more of a balance within my mind, within my spirit, and just keep things rolling such that I will continue to enjoy it. And, you know, having accountability partners, having people who are there that you can confide in on those days where you just don't feel like you can do it today, and on those days where you did it and somebody's saying, man, you got through that, good job, you know, that means a lot. So, you know, I really appreciate everybody chiming in this week. You know, I'm sorry about what happened last week with the radio. But we were here, we're here now, and, you know, we'll be back again throughout, coming back next Tuesday, new topic, fresh topic. If there's anything that you would like to have discussed or a topic that you would like to talk about, this show is not just for me, it's for all of us. And so, you know, if you want to come on and you want to discuss a particular topic, feel free, you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy getting questions. I enjoy listening to other people's stories. So let me get out the way and listen to you for a minute and some of the experiences you have, because sometimes, you know, people say things and they say it one way, but there are other times where, you know, if somebody says something, somebody hears it differently and it means a little bit more to them. And so, you know, if you have a topic that you want to talk about, if you have a topic that you want to come on and discuss, feel free, because that means that you may reach a lot more people because of the way you say things, the way you view things. And this is all for us. This is all growth for us. This is all transparency for us and being able to be vulnerable. But with this healthy body transformation, this mindset transformation, this spiritual transformation, it's all really reconnecting back to the inside of yourself. And just trying to be the best you can be and trying to be work the hardest you can and, you know, staying in tune with your passions and your dreams and checking in on those things every day. And that's what's going to help in the sustainability of your life. And that's what's going to help you attract the people that really need to be around you and the people that you need to be around to forward that mission. And so you want to keep a healthy mindset. One of the things that I do before I go to bed at night, as I have my earbuds in my ear, and I'll turn on I'll go on YouTube, find something on YouTube, and I'll either listen to a morning motivational speech until I fall asleep, or I'll listen to a like one of those meditation things to help you fall asleep or that you listen to while you sleep. And that just keeps your mind refreshed. That just keeps your mind from racing, about the crap that you've had in your head all day, and you've not been able to get out, and you lay down and your mind's still racing. And so, you know, having those earbuds in is kind of personal to me because it stays right in between your ears. You're not interrupting anybody else. You don't have to listen in a room of other things that may be going on that allow you to get distracted. You can listen just through those earbuds, and that helps. And you wake up refreshed. You wake up feeling a little bit different. So we have to constantly continue to feed our mind positivity. Personal development is huge. We constantly have to do those things every single day. We can't take no days off with our health. We can't take no days off with our mind. We have to do something that's going to continue to feed that, that's going to continue to work through that, and that's what's going to sustain you. And if you, you know, even if you're doing a transformation, do a transformation in one area, you know, and just start it. 66 days, whatever it might be. You know, we have Lent and people give up stuff for 40 days. But start something that you have to be accountable for and have somebody else doing it with you. On the 25th or 24th, 25th, I'm going to be starting the detox, which I'm going to talk probably more about next week. But we'll be doing the 30-day detox. And so I wanted to start my transformation before I started the detox, because the detox I want to be the icing on the cake that really brings things into alignment. And so I've been working hard now, just working out and eating right and taking my nutrition. But when this detox kicks in, that's what's going to then give it that boost, that energy boost or that body boost that is going to get you right and get you ready. So, you know, again, just look at yourself, have a long conversation with yourself, and find out what it is mentally, spiritually, physically you need to do to sustain and make a better you, because we all need to continue to work on ourselves every day. And so find out what it is for you. And whatever that is, just say, commit yourself to doing it. And you will thank yourself. Your body will thank you. Your mind will thank you. And sometimes probably even the people around you will thank you, because they'll see that you're doing something different. And you never know who you may be an example for that needs to do the same thing. So with that being said, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We'll be back here next week, next Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the radio, on Facebook Live. And, you know, if you need to reach me, my phone number is 919-599-0916. I often have a lot of questions to answer and things to respond to, and I have to get the platform shut down for the night. And so there's a long process, but if I don't get right back to you, if you call, just text me or leave me a voicemail, and I will do my best to get back to you as soon as possible. Plus, I still have to do my workouts and stuff, but I will make sure I get back to you. And if you have a particular topic that you want discussed, you can text that to me as well. If you want a recording of the show, the radio show, you can text me. My phone number is 919-599-0916, and you can just put in the subject that you'd like a recording of the Health Talk Radio Show. And once that's done, I can send you the link to the recording. Because you may have heard something tonight that you want to share with someone else. You might want to share it with, you might want to go back and listen to it again. And so I encourage that you share it. You know, it takes nothing to share, and it takes nothing to sow some more information into somebody else's life. And so just be a vessel. But I appreciate the time. I appreciate you taking the time to come in and sit with me, and I hope that I brought value to you, because that's my end goal, is to bring value and to really be able to help you for whatever it is. But that help comes through me helping myself first. And that's one of the things that I like about video, is I can see right to myself. I'm looking right at myself the entire time. So have a productive rest of the week. Take something out of each day and do something you love, even if it's for just a couple of minutes. You love doing crossword puzzles, do them right before you go to bed. If you love singing, sing a song. Whatever it is you love to do, whatever it is you're passionate about, whatever it is you wanted to be when you were that little girl or little boy, just read something about it. Go look at it, even if you can't be it. Just surround yourself with it, just a little bit, if you can't do it a lot. But you'll be surprised how much that'll help your mind and how much that'll free you, help you feel inspired. Thank you all. I love you all so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night.